If you have your Bibles, if you would be so kind to turn with me this afternoon to the book of Mark, chapter 4. The book of Mark, chapter 4. And we're going to begin in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, beginning at verse number 35. And here the Bible says, "The same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And when he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they wake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" The book of Acts, chapter 27. The book of Acts, chapter 27. This time we're going to start at verse number 13. It says, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they'd obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after there rose a tempestuous wind called Eurocyclone. And when the ship was caught, and they could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up the used helps and girding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, they strake sail, so they were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lighten the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay upon us, and all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, and he said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer." That's pretty funny. "For there shall not be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve." Verse number 27. Carrying on, it says, "But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. And they sounded, and they found 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. And then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern, and they wished for the day. And the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. But Paul said unto the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." And finally, the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 1. 2 verses of Scripture, 10 and 11. Acts 1, 10, 11. "And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why do you stand yet gazing into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Jesus, we love you today. We praise you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to be in your house, to hear your word. Thank you for the Spirit of God that moved in the songs, the worship. Now, God, we turn our ears and our hearts to the hearing of your word. We ask for your touch. We ask you, God, for your hand upon us today. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Last Wednesday night in our service, I made a few brief comments about the troubles that are happening and occurring in our present day in around the world. And with all that is and has been happening, you just got to look at your newspaper and social media, listen to the radio. There's a whole lot going on. Over the past few weeks, I felt like God had been speaking to my spirit a message thought in concerns to this day, and it concerns to where we are at today. And so today, this afternoon, I will now share this message that I feel God placed in my heart with you. And considering the thought of how that there are not too many of us who wouldn't admit to the fact, and how that you, like anybody else, enjoys the feeling both of that of the comforts and that of the safety that many of us find in and within our families and often in concerns to our homes. What I'm saying to you today is this: it is a comforting thought when it's you who feels like any one of life's uncertainties are coming upon you that you can turn to, and that you're the one that can listen to the comforting words of your family, and or it's you who can then escape and feel safe and secure in the confines of the protection of your home. Mom, Dad, honey, I'm scared, and I don't like what I'm hearing, and I don't like what I'm seeing going on. What's going to be okay? We've weathered it before, and we can weather this again. You know, things aren't going so good right now, and so I'm just going to lock the door and hide myself away in my house and maybe in my room under the comforter, so that no matter what is going on around me, where I am now, at least I feel safe and secure within the four walls of my home. And you know, church friends, today this is what comes to us from within. Means that with it is our human nature. This is what many of us believe in ourselves. It helps us to feel, maybe you feel that around either your family or in the confines of your home, you're safe. I'm taught to believe that if I get into trouble, I go running to my dad or to my mom. You wake up from a bad dream, and when mom walks in the room and she begins to cuddle you as you're a young child, that's comforting. Sometimes when it's all messy out in the world and things are going bad, you know what you do? Maybe get a good book and you lay down and you go in your room and pull up your comforter, lock the doors, close the windows, bring down the blinds, and you feel safe. I've locked them out. I'm all right. However, if for any reason, any one of these securities or these safeties that we as a people lean upon, if they are, maybe they've been taken away from us. The next question for you is, I guess, what you need to consider is just then what it is that you're going to do. What are you or I going to do? What would we do? What could we do? What should we do? What can we do if all these securities are gone? In this context of thought, when reading in the New Testament and when considering the path of the lives of the people who chose to follow Jesus during his earthly ministry, and then when looking again at the people who still continue to follow the 12 apostles once Jesus had not only been crucified, but before a great host of people, he'd also now ascended up into heaven before them all. He's gone. Now, having said this, I've often wondered what some of the thoughts of the people, just like you and I, would have been, those who were first eyewitnesses to Jesus' miracle working power and who saw all that Jesus could do and had done, only to then be the same ones to watch as this Jesus, their security and inside their hearts, their hope of being once and for all freed from Roman rule, to before them to be brutally taken and crucified for all to see. What went on in their minds? What were they thinking? And when considering some of these thoughts of those who lived in such a time, And those who in themselves had begun to place their trust and their safety in the security in this one, Jesus Christ, as I said, to watch him hang his head and to cry out the words, "It's finished," and then to die. Now what? Just what are we going to do now? Look at him. He's dead. I wonder this day just wherein did their inner thoughts lie. Jesus is gone. They crucified him. He'd been taken away. And you know, in concerns of such thoughts as the people had felt, maybe like the carpet had been pulled out from under them. And in like fashion, sometimes it's you and I who at times who can feel the same way, like it has happened to you. What? Safety gone. Your security taken away. You see, church friends, today as far as theirs and maybe our safety and that of our security lies, just like a ship tossed in the tempest in the face of our maybe our enemy coming in like a flood, I'm here to declare to you this afternoon how that no matter what, through anything that we go through, whatever it is that we have to face in this life, the anchor holds. I want you to know the anchor will hold. When it is cast forth and it hits that ground, you're not going to go anywhere. I believe that it is in those times of sheer adversity that it is we who, as the wise man who writes in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 writes, it is then that it should be you who trusts in the Lord with all your heart and who leans not to your own understanding, but who in all your ways acknowledges him and acknowledges God, because he, God, will then direct your path. What do I do now? Look to the author and the finish of your faith. Where do I turn to now? Turn your thoughts, your eyes, your heart, everything that you have, to God. It is you who maybe who when you read the book of Psalms will find that about the psalmist David, the writer of many of the chapters of the book of Psalms, who he himself discovered in and throughout his life the fact that in any one of his life difficult situations, he, David, was able to both establish now and to reestablish the setting and the resettling of the fact that his foundation and that of his strength and his place in God, no matter what came his way, it was David who proved that his faith in his God was that which was held both firm and solid. He trusted in God. He turned his heart to God. God was his anchor. That was his rock. Wrapping his arms around Christ Jesus, you could say in the Old Testament was Jehovah. Hanging on to that anchor, nothing could pry it from him. My faith in my Creator stays. But you'd say, well, how could David, let alone anybody for that matter, be able in the midst of their adversity, declare, maybe hang on to such a confidence? How can you do that? The whole world's upside down. Everything's gone wrong. Because just like as Isaiah, the writer of the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, in the second portion of verse 19. Isaiah writes in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verse 19, the second portion. He declares, when? Look at your neighbor and say, when? When? You listen, buddy. Friends, today, it's not if. Come on, what world do we live in? It's not if. It's when. But when the enemy, who's your enemy, shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Well, I'm protected in the church. I don't have no problems in my life. Everything's kosher. It's hunky-dory. It's okay. Really? Well, welcome to reality as the carpet gets pulled out from under you. Welcome to a shock in your life when tragedy hits, when you are in a trial, when you've plunged into the depths of a valley. When my enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, my anchor, will lift up a standard against him. It's you who in those times who can declare, I'm not defeated, Satan. You're never going to win, for it's the Lord who goes before me and who keeps my anchor secure. Therefore, Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. For when I fall, not if I fall, but when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, it's the Lord who shall be a light unto me. What does the Bible say? He's a light unto my feet, and a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. He's there. It's dark. Open that word and let it guide you in your darkness. I don't know where the light of the tunnel is. Turn your soul towards your anchor, Jesus Christ. I want you to hear today, church, what the Spirit is saying to you. The anchor holds. I wonder today, did you hear me? You hear what I just said? The anchor, your anchor holds. It's firm. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What I'm saying to you all today is, if God be for you, who shall be that which comes against you? For no matter what it is that you might choose or way you want to choose to look at it, as far as it is God who is leading, if He's the one leading you, if He's the one guiding you in your life, then it is and it's going to always be okay. Why? Because the anchor holds. I've often looked at people out in the world and they become, the Bible says, they're in great fear where no fear was. Why are you so out of control? Well, I'll ask you the same question. Why do you seem to be in control? Because the anchor holds. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, again the second portion of verse 13, having done all to stand. Wonder what your family would think, wife or husband, maybe even your children. There you are in the middle of your front room and you're just standing there. Mom's called us for dinner. Are we not going shopping? What are you just standing? Mom, are you gone crazy? Dad, Mom, get in here. I think he's lost his cookies. Having done all to stand. Well, I got to run here. No, I got to go over there. No, I think I'll go. What? Having done all, then stand and wrap your arm, maybe if you want to call it invisible, around that anchor and just hang on. I've often seen many times people get into and they, you know what, they're up on the mountain with Jesus. The next thing you know, they plunge into their valley. Well, they're up on the mountain, they're up there, they're worshiping and praising, and you could hear them in pre-service prayer, and it just seems like they're storming heaven's gates, and then the trial hits, or maybe they get into adversity, and guess what happens next? I don't hear nothing. Why? Because you allow that enemy to begin to control you. You got to, whose kid are you? Well, I'm a king's kid. I know it's funny, but I tell people, you know, my dad, he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Well, how come you live on Midnight Drive then? You know what? They call my dad the Rose of Sharon, the Bright and the Morning Star. He's the rock of my salvation. You know what he is? He's the anchor in my storm. He's the cleft of the rock. And the anchor holds, you see? Having done all, there's nothing more I can do than look up. Turn it over to him. In the book of Psalms, it was David that we see who never forgot how that it was his God who'd always be there with him. Where? Where would God be with David? In the valleys, on the mountaintops, when David was alone, when it was he who was up on the hill, or being faced by one of his enemies? Did he not say, I fought the lion, I fought the bear? He took out Goliath, you come to me with swords and staves, I come to you how? In the name of the Lord. David never forgot that. You can't take on a giant in your life. I don't have to. Get him, Dad. The anchor holds. You see, David in his life, he understood the fact that God would never leave him, nor would God forsake him. I think many times maybe he heard this inner voice and said, David, I thought I'd remind you today what? The anchor holds. Well, Pastor, you know today, how is this thought relevant to my life today? Well, first of all, in the face of a looming, or maybe you can call it an apparent economic crisis of maybe mass proportions, a crisis that any time could come upon maybe even all of us. Well, what kind of a crisis? How? Well, I'm going to tell you. In the face of job losses, or that of you're facing maybe financial destitution or great reduction, perilous times, it is we as a church, it's you as an individual who stands and who no doubt can clearly see through the media. That's what I was saying. The last few weeks, I'm looking at that, I'm going, wow, this world is flipping cookies. It's going upside down. Things are going, you look over there, they've got trouble there. Well, they've got trouble there. Well, you know what? Everything's falling apart, and now you can't even buy romaine lettuce for your Caesar salads from North California because it's got diseases, and you better not do this because you're going to die. And if you do this, you're going to get killed, and don't go on a vacation because everybody's getting shot and murdered, killed, beat up, left for dead. It's just bad. And I think of all this, I'm going, wow. And then this thought came to me. You know what it said? The anchor holds. So we see that of unrest, we see that of uncertainty that sooner or later is going to come down the pike. And that's why today, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, what I believe to be a cry from Almighty God to you today is, no matter what it is that you might face, no matter how high your mountain nor how low your valley might seem to be, you know, you have no idea how far down I've gone. I've got a message from God to each one of you today, and that is, God, through this preacher, declares to you one and all how that it is that anchor, your anchor that holds, your security, your safety in God hold. When everything that people in the world, that they place their trust in. There we go. What's the Bible say? Some man trusts in chariots and horses. I trust in God. When everything they place their trust in begins to crumble and fall, we go back. You know, we talk about, and I don't know, there's many here anyhow, that go back to the dirty 30s when the economy went and people were using their money to start fires with because it was worth nothing and everything was tight and troublesome. Oh, that was back then. Hang on, honey. You never know. And we talk about people in the lumber industry. Tell them that there's no problem in the world today. And you go around city to city, here to there and everywhere. They're all shutting down, cutting back, pulling back shifts, stopping this, stopping. Yeah, we'll go around from there to other people who are well, it's all bad. No, the anchor holds, because you know what? When you found that job, you were looking for it, and God will help you find another one. And when that door shuts in you first, you got to turn this way, and God's going to open another one. And you face that adversity, and you go down into that valley. Hang on, honey. The mountain's on its way. Why? Well, it rains on the just and the unjust. Yeah, but the anchor still holds. We're not moved by the economy. When I was in school, and I didn't pay a whole lot of attention in school. Sometimes when I was younger, I got away by the skin of my teeth. And today they just push you from grade to grade. But anyhow, I never knew about a capitalistic society and, well, the Dow Jones and all these little things has gone up and down by 20, 30 points. Well, look at our nation. And I'm listening to my little radio podcast, and it tells you that this is up, the Dow is up, and Walmart's up, and this is down. And there's people at the stock market, and they're just shaking away. And here's the church. Ready? Aren't you going crazy? What if they shut your bank tomorrow and every penny you got is gone? You know what? I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. David, God will never leave you nor will he forsake you. Why? Because the anchor church holds. When the struggles of life come upon you, sooner or later, they will. It's you who can see the trouble, maybe your trials as they approach you. And you know, in those times when it almost seems there's no way to avoid them. Let's throw reality at you. Anybody ever slid on the ice before in your vehicle? Anybody maybe get cut off by somebody and you're driving down the road and you see them coming and they cut you off and there's nothing you can do. And so either you slide or you hit your brakes or you watch it coming, and there's nothing you can do. I love my story that I always talk about, my wife and I, and coming back from that time, and it's happened again. It happened again, and it happened again when we were driving, and it was pouring down rain, and that guy in front of me, he slams his brakes on to stop for this guy dressed in black on the side of the road, and she says, "Jesus," and the car came to a thumping stop, and I thought, "Oh, we hit him! Oh!" And then his taillights just took off, and we were fine. And it's just about a year ago sometime, we're heading up to Fort St. John to go visit the kids, and it was night, we're outside of Chetwin, you know, and it was pouring rain, and it was black, as black of night can be. And my high beams, they picked up these four horses on the side of the road to drop, to drop, to drop. And I was thinking, who in their right mind is crazy enough to be riding a horse on the side of a road in pitch black, and they were in tandem, one behind the other. Well, guess what? My high beams caught that it wasn't a horse with a rider. It was four moose. And I'm towing an empty trailer up there. And I'm looking at these four moose. And so I swung to the middle of the road. And one of them darted this way. I thought, great. And the other one came this way. And my wife looked in her passenger mirror. And there was number three. And he was right there. She cussed like a sailor and she said, "Jesus!" I don't know where the fourth one went. I was already swallowing my heart. The anchor holds. Off we went. I thought if one of those moose, probably about 800-pound dudes, would have fell onto my empty trailer, well, our face would be like bugs in the front of the windshield and we probably went right through it. And she said, I saw that little furry thing right under his chin. Staring right in the window. Oh, goodness, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? The anchor holds. You call on that name that's above every name. You look at that rock and you say, "Jesus, I need you right now in this storm to help me to push it through. We're here. There's nothing you can do. You can't go boo to those moose." But God took care of it, and I'm still preaching to you today. But in those times when you're in that valley down below, it's then that a message like this today is what you and your mind and heart need to remember. It's all good right now. Hang on. Everything's going great right now. And when it begins to happen, and it's you and your life, you need to declare to yourself and to your family how that the anchor holds. We're in trouble right now, but the anchor holds. Jesus is not moving. His word is the same yesterday, today, and it will be forever. And if he said it back then, he means it now. And as it's you who stands firm upon the fact that God is going to be there, and it's going to be God who'll take you through it, and it's God who's going to go there with you as you go through it, you can say to yourself, well, then the anchor holds. I've often thought of this. Yeah, I just lost my job. They laid me off. The mortgage people called. They're going to repo my house. And you know, my kids ran away. And the cupboards are empty. And the car's out of gas. And I had to hitchhike to church today. It might be easy for you to tell somebody who in the present time is really going through it. And they can't see their life without nothing but the perils in it, and that they don't know where the light is at top because they're so stuck far deep in the valley, you know. And what are they going through? Maybe they're going through heartache. Maybe they're facing sorrow, the darkness, or of that of their loneliness. Maybe they're in despair. Maybe, have I hit anybody yet? Okay, well, how about the emptiness that they're currently feeling in their life? Oh, it's going to be okay. Oh, yes, pat, pat, pat. And you go and you have Hong Shong Chinese food and over to Denny's, up to Boston Pizza, and you go home and turn the heat on and your mortgage is paid, everything. Yeah, it's okay. You're going to be fine. The bomb. But my question to you is this. What do you do? What will you do? What will you tell yourself when it's you that's going through it? Don't get personal, okay? You got to be. What are you going to do? All I can tell you what you can do is to remember this, friend. The anchor holds. That didn't go over very well. I'm not looking for a hot response. I'm just looking for a hot reception. Remember, the anchor holds. I'm so depressed right now, I don't know how to find a repress it. I don't know if you can repress the depress, brother. I just tried and thought it sounded good. You know, I'm so down. I don't know where up is. I don't know. Everything went wrong and it went bad. Okay, let's share. Let's get personal. Let's just, you know, uncover the heart here. Well, 3 days now. I'm working on my message. Well, I couldn't get it done. And then this got in the way, and that got in the way, and I'm starting to get flustered, and the peanut brittle man, I know he might be calling, and it was Saturday afternoon when I finally got my brain in order and finished where I was going. And it was like all H-E double hockey sticks broke loose in my life. Everything that would go wrong, could go wrong, did go wrong, felt wrong, it was bad. And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm on track. This is where we're going. The anchor holds. Guess what? I'm going to get through this. I'm going to preach this, and somebody needs this. And if it's you, grab it. If you don't need it, then put it in your Bible, and don't you forget it. Because there's going to come a time when it's going to be you going to have to say, guess what? I'm in a whole lot of trouble, but the anchor holds. In any state that you find or your life finds you in, it's you who needs to lift up your eyes to God. It's you who needs to cry out for God for strength in your times of need. It's you who needs to never forget the fact that as long as you abide in the ship, under the shadow of his wings, the anchor holds. It'll always hold. Now, let's hit it. Ready? Let's bring this baby home. When we consider the scriptural references that we've just read today, in the book of Mark chapter 4, we come upon a time when the disciples in their life, they're all caught up in a ship in a storm. And even though they knew, even though they knew Jesus was there. I am a C-H-R-I-S-C-I-N. Christian. Okay. They knew he was there. Are you hearing me? They knew he was. Look at somebody say, They knew he was there. Where was he? He was in the ship. They knew he was there. All right. Even though Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the ship, what happened, folks? Ride the storm with me, okay? Fear gripped their hearts and human reasoning took a hold of their faith that they had in their hearts, and it was they who woke up Jesus. Don't miss this. They woke him up, and instead of saying, Lord, would you please help us in this storm, they said, don't you care that we perish? What's your... On a pillow. Are you having a nighty night? For goodness sake, man, the ship's full of water. Lord, we're going to die. Is that dramatic enough? I do okay. Oh, more. Okay. Don't you care we perish? And here it comes in verse 39 of Mark chapter 4. Jesus gets up. I don't know if he stretched himself for this day. He played the game a little bit. And he rebuked the wind and the sea and he said, peace be still. Sometimes when I'm out of hand, you know, my wife in our days gone by probably would love to have said that to me. Be still. And know that he is God. And that's why you still have your teeth. No. Peace be still. And what happened? The wind ceased and there was a great calm. And that's when Jesus turned to the disciples. Here we go, folks. I'm talking to you today. And he said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? The anchor, friends, holds. And you want to read that, carry on those verses? They went like, hey, Dave. See what he just did? Gonzo. How you do that? The anchor holds. Then we look at the book of Acts 27. Now we come to a time in Paul's life when he was on his way to facing his judgment for the crime of following Jesus. Book of Acts chapter 27. 29 through 31, the scripture says, then fearing that they should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and they wished for the day. I don't know about you, I've had a lot of times in my life the last 37 years, probably more than that, I'm 59 now, when I wish for the day. Am I going to wake up from this nightmare? Are things going to get better? Verse 30 and 31, and when the shipmen were about to flee, oh, church, listen. Out of the ship, when they were let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. This is your sanctuary. This is the safety. This is where the Spirit of God is. This is where the Spirit of fellowship is. This is where I get my strength. This is where the Word of God is expounded. This is how I get my spiritual food. If you don't abide in the ship, they're going to die. When it seems as though darkness is all around you, as it's you who tumbles down into your valley, this is not the time, this never should be the time for you to jump ship, nor to be the one to blame God. This is not the time for you to quit praying or to say, forget about it, and say, I'm just going to give up. I'm defeated. I want you to hear this now. This is not the time for you to turn your back on where your true safety and security lies, meaning the church. It's not run away from, it's get to. Are you guys still having prayer from Tuesday to Saturday, 6 to 6:30? Yeah, I'll be there. Well, they sounded really desperate on the phone, I guess. And the door opens up. Thank God for prayer. Thank God for peace. I'm glad for Wednesday night. I'm glad that you all are here on Sunday. I feel such comfort in the around the family of God. And I know that I'm amongst friends. And I know that Jesus Christ is here. Don't jump ship. Don't turn your back on the church. But instead, it's when you are in these times, it's you who needs to be the one who hunkers down and who declares and who does anything that's necessary for you to do to get a hold of God. You know what? Sometimes the happy clappy, Jesus, now I lay me down to sleep, ain't the kind of prayer. God, I need you today. I'm really in the valley and I'm going through it. I'm sick in my body and I'm going to go ask for prayer. And I believe that the prayer of faith will save me that is sick, and you're going to raise me up. God, today I need help. I need the Holy Ghost. I am without salvation in my life. I'm not walking out of that door until I know that I've got that anchor and that it holds. The reason you got to do this is because the very message that you're hearing today, if you allow it to, when it's you who's being faced with adversity, a trial, a test, if it's you who in your walk with God in your valley under enemy attack, 10-4 rubber duck, last 3 days. Today, what the Spirit of God through this message wants to make very clear in your mind and your heart is this: the anchor holds. The anchor, you just got to grab onto it. It's stuck in the mud or in the sand up there on the rocks. It's hanging on. If I could just hang on to that anchor sooner or later. Don't you get happy on me, enemy. I'm going to get out of this. God's going to be my light. Your only strength, your only ability to be able to literally recover, overcome, and to one day conquer your enemy is not going to be affected outside the church, outside the will of God for your life, nor by you turning to the world for your answers. For this and this alone comes when he, your anchor, holds. I want to tell you quickly, perilous times are going to come. Yes, they are. And the world is going to continue to get darker, and the valleys that you walk through might appear to be longer. But when they do, it's you who needs to do yourself a favor to remember how that the anchor holds. There's somebody I know in the congregation today, well, probably many, but anyhow, I know there's somebody in the congregation, and they talk about layoffs and temporary layoffs, and they're stuck out at their house, and they don't go anywhere, and you know what he does? He comes into the church on Sunday. Yeah, it was a guy, okay, fine. And there he is. And he's laying there, and his hands up, and he's reaching. I don't know what to do. I think I'm just going to give up. It's all over. It's all over. I haven't worked for a week and a half. I haven't gone anywhere. And you know, things are bad. No, he doesn't. You know what he says? He said, we're going to make it. We're going to make it through this, aren't we? We're going to get by. Mm-hmm. They're going to call me back to work. Things are going to be okay. Well, what would you do? You'd be laying on the puke. All right, somebody take me for a Timmy's. I'm going to die without a Starbucks, whatever you drink. And I thought, you know what, brother? Kudos. I don't know if that's okay to say in church. Good for you. Wow. You could be down the door. No, we'll get back to work. It's all good. More time with the family, you know. Yeah. Finally, Sister Z, would you come? They want to go home. When we read in the book of Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Don't miss it. When Jesus was taken up out of the people's sight, it was the angels that called to those that were gathering. What are you looking up to heaven? Gonzo. Finite. I don't know what, maybe that's French. Finished. It's over. Au revoir. What are you standing up looking up there for? Jesus is coming back. Ready? Don't stay here. He told, don't you, do what you're told to do. Go and tarry until you're endued with that power from on high. For when you do, it'll be Jesus Christ who then empowers you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Revelation and able to overcome, to become more than a conqueror. It's you who Jesus will steal in your heart the fact that whether or not he's absent in the body, he's inside of you. That, hey, you are that temple made without hands. I've got Jesus Christ in my heart. I don't walk this world alone. I'm not walking in my valley. Everybody loves that poster. It says, oh, the footprints. You know, I was walking through a trial and trouble, and there was two sets of footprints, you know, and suddenly I'm into trouble, and there's one. Thanks, you left me. You went sayonara. You went goodbye. No, he didn't say that. He said, well, you know what? When you saw one set of footprints, I was carrying you. Let's stand. When you realize who you serve, who the God of your soul and your salvation is, when you realize that, you know what? Well, I guess I'd love to have a money tree in the backyard and everything going good. Well, then you wouldn't need God. But you know what? One thing you can secure in your heart is that the anchor holds. Did you hear me? Loud and clear, church. The anchor holds. Sing.
Where do I go?
Why don't you come and why don't you pray?
No,
well, I don't want to come and pray. Well, why don't you?